Good morning, guys. Hope you're all doing well. Welcome back to another episode of Blockchain and Beyond. As always, I'm your host, Razan. On today's episode, I've got a very special guest with me. He's building something awesome on Algorand. He's helping people track their assets because, with the amount of applications out there nowadays, it can be hard to keep track of where your money is, which applications you're using. Even tracking things like your NFTs, which NFTs do I hold? There's so many projects out there, it can be hard to keep track. So I'm super glad to introduce Kieran from AlgoGator.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. Very happy to be here. I say I'm Kieran, from one half of the AlgoGator team. My co-founder Garrett unfortunately can't be with us today, but I will happily answer on his behalf. So any questions you have for him specifically, I'll answer for him.
Cool. I guess we can probably start off with the basics, maybe a bit about yourself, a bit about your background and kind of how you got to where you are right now.
So my background specifically, I've been a software developer for like 10 odd years. I started out in the games industry. That was awful. So I moved into consultancy with massive corporations, and it was boring as, but the work was exciting. Right now in my day job, I am a software development manager. I run a team of like five or six devs doing marine management software, big boats, basically. Big boats. They hate it when I say that. But in my spare time, which I surprisingly have some, in spare time, I've been doing AlgoGator since we went live on mainnet November last year, actually. So it's nearly a year, November 28th. We started at version one, was portfolio tracker, come track your stuff, blah blah blah. See your NFTs. And then we it was kind of a you could call it a beta, because then in the January we came out with a much more polished version, version two, which is currently live right now. Everyone can go use it. It's just aggregator.finance. And it's first and foremost portfolio tracking. See your net worth across the assets in your wallet and how much they're worth, based on a combination of all the different amounts and the different DEXs. And then we have DeFi, so you can see where you're staking your assets and things like Yubi and AlgoFi and Tainan and all that kind of good stuff. Then we've got your NFTs, creations and collections, and you can see your transactions and such going on there too. What we're gearing up for right now is version three, which is coming out on the 8th of November, so a couple of weeks, 2.5 weeks, something like that. We just went dev complete, which I'm very excited about. So we're just doing testing, tweaking, fixing, that kind of stuff. And that's going to blow everything that we did previously out of water. Still a portfolio tracker at its heart, but we're branching out into more defined kind of areas to help you find the best stuff in the ecosystem. NFT communities, DeFi opportunities, see where everything is. We've got a lot more integrations this time, and we've rebuilt the whole platform from the ground up, so it's going to be easier for us to build in the future. Because our previous tagline was, your portfolio tracker, and now it's AlgoGator.finance, the homepage of Algorand. That's what we're aiming for.
No, that sounds really awesome because looking at your website currently, right, you have a lot of, I would say, good integrations already, right? So with any assets, it shows you the Tinyman price, the Pact price, the AlgoFi price, and it gives you like a rough market value. But what would be awesome is if you can directly swap tokens through your through the app. If that I that's maybe something you consider. That's like when I look at version two as it is, that's something that pops up for me, right? Because something like a portfolio tracker is useful, but just at a glimpse. And as you're building version three, I'm sure the integrations will, as you said, hopefully make it the home page of Algorand, where you can kind of live off AlgoGator, where you basically connect your wallet and you can see, everything to do with DeFi, with NFTs, with marketplaces, through the app. You can swap your tokens from here to here, and all of that. And also, a big thing is, connecting people with different communities, because there's so many, Twitter spaces, there's so many Discord servers. Having, some sort of centralized place where people can come and find projects that they're interested in is going to be really, really key for helping people connect with the ecosystem.
Yeah, on the first point, with the swapping tokens, version 3 has that. So we've got token swapping powered by Alamex. So it's rooted swaps. So it'll look over every DEX in AMM that has liquidity for the swap you want to do, and it'll get you the best price. And it'll like split it up between all the different places and do a kind of multi-swap all in one transaction that you can sign. So we're bringing that because we thought that was important. Because we really want to keep everyone on our platform. And then with the community side of things, we've got a start to that. I spent the last week seeding the database with as many all the NFT collections that I can right now. So I think we've got over 600 NFT collections, and then they've got their associated websites, Twitters, their Twitter feeds, and the full collection and sales data that you can see from the past. So that's a start to it, but we need to do some more. Need to find a way to get Discord like invite links in there, because I can get people's Discord usernames and stuff, but I can't get like getting the invite to the actual place. And I want to do it in an automated way so that I don't have to go ask people, because that takes forever.
Yeah, no, that's a bit of a tough one, right? Because like Discord invite links, you have to make yourself, and then the owners can actually just like delete them as well. So you could have dead links sitting there, which makes it a bit tough to do. Yeah, no, that would be a really good one, because Discord is like where things happen. I wanted to touch on the decision to use Alamex. Was that something that was sort of a no-brainer? Because there's a lot of one there's a lot of DEXs, but there's a lot less aggregators currently. Was there a reason that you went for Alamex straight out the gate?
Yeah, the main reason was I think the only other one the other ones are DeFi and Vestige. DeFi isn't open as far as I'm aware, and Vestige cost money. Alamex, on the other hand, is free to use for us, and they do a 50% profit share on the transaction fees. So we get something back for it. So that was, when I looked at it, it was pretty much a no-brainer. Also, want to support, we want to make sure we're supporting not just the big guys, but also the smaller guys. That's why we went with Alamex. And it's been great so far. The fellow Alamex has been a star helping me out with blockchain development and stuff, and making sure that we can do the transactions safely and securely, and to get everything set up for us.
No, because I use Alamex as well, because they were the main DEX aggregator I could find that actually had some sort of SDK available to actually build these integrations in, because like Deathly is awesome, but they don't have any exposed APIs or anything for you to use like that. I haven't looked into Vestige that much. But yeah, with Alamex, it was quite simple. I dropped Phil a message, and then he was like, "Hey, go. Here's your API key. Here's your rate limit. Don't hammer it too much." And that was basically it, right? And I found the SDK. Once I figured out what I was doing, it was quite, for me, straightforward to actually set up. So I think Alamex is a pretty strong option. And yeah, I guess the kickback from transaction fees is always nice as well, to help support you guys and support your team. Yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with that. But yeah, we're sort of getting spoiled for choice on Algorand. There's so many good aggregators popping up, which just makes life easier. You don't need to shop around. It's just like a one-stop shop. So having that integrated into the platform, I think is going to be really, really awesome for people. Oh, I've just drawn a blank. You're gonna have to just give me a sec to catch
Well,
my train of thought.
let me, can I tell you about our biggest feature
Yeah, go for
that
it.
we've got in V3? So the swaps is, are really good, but our biggest thing that we're bringing, kind of our number one feature, is opportunities. So we obviously use, you connect your wallet, so we know what you've got in your wallet, LP tokens as well. So we have a look through that, and we know we get all the different opportunities from across the ecosystem. So where you can do your staking, like what pools are available on Humble, what staking opportunities there are on like Cometa and stuff like that, and we pull all that together. So you get two options. You can see what's for your wallet. So you can see, here's where you can put all the tokens you've got. Here's where you can put them. Here's the APYs. Here's an estimated, you know, return on it. Very much estimated, and not financial advice. And then, and you can, you know, go straight to their sites and make those, take advantage of that straight away. And then we've got like all ecosystems, so you can see everything that we've got, like from the top of the APY that's coming through. So, and that'll continue to grow as we integrate more platforms. We'll have more opportunities to show people. And in the end, you know, what we want to do at the start of next year is bring in the ability to take advantage of those on our platform. Like, so if you want to stake some tokens on Cometa, like you click the button and you sign the transaction aggregator rather than having to go to their site. It's their smart contracts, they still get their fees. Maybe we get a small fee on top for convenience. But that's what we want to do, because everything that we're building is one for community and two to keep people on the site, because it's all about daily average users for us. That's the number one thing. So we're trying to bring a lot of stuff that'll make people go, oh, I'll just hang out and I'll go there. This is the place to be.
No, because I think the problem people fall into is getting sort of too used to one platform. At the start I was used to Yodlee for DeFi, and then it was okay, now I can use Tinyman. And then AlgoFi came out, and then AlgoFi is sort of like the big dog in terms of pools and like TVL in general at that point. So you kind of just use AlgoFi and you don't really consider the other options out there. But having the oversight of the entire ecosystem, and the opportunities out there will hopefully let people make more informed choices. Because a place they might be staking might not have the best like liquidity overall. They might not get the most value out of it. There could be additional opportunities. Now we're seeing a lot more of like multi-step integrations that you can do, where you use Fox Finance, you mint some gAlgo, and then you toss that into a liquidity pool with normal algo, and then you can toss it into another staking pool, or you just stake it straight into governance. So there's a lot more options out there for people, and it is quite overwhelming trying to figure out which ones are going to be the best for you.
Yeah, I mean that was part of it. Was, you know, there's so many things out there, so we want to give people the best, you know, stuff. And it's not just showing them the rate that they get, because, you know, different tokens, different prices. So it kind of doesn't help if you're staking something with 2,000 APR, but it's, you know, 10 to the, like 10 to the power 6, like below zero, versus a stable coin, it's going to be different rates. So that's why we also have the kind of translation to fiat over time. And we do that over like multiple currencies. So you've got your dollars, you've got your pounds, euros, but we also do ETH and Bitcoin and Thai baht as well, because Garrett's based in Thailand, so Thai currency was important. So you can actually see the translation of, if you held this for a year with, we use it like $1,000 as an example, put $1,000 in this pool for a year, you'll get this back. And lots of fine print that is just like, this doesn't take into account many many different things, but it's just to give you an idea and see what you're gonna have. So initially, when V3 comes out, it's just gonna be pretty much a list sorted by the highest APYs that are out there, and the one based on your tokens in your wallet. But we will be bringing, you know, sorting options, different types of stuff that you want to look at, different things to that, because we see that as a big piece, for not just the ecosystem to help people find stuff, but also for us, to kind of start working with those platforms, do some affiliation links and stuff, because if we're driving traffic to them, we'd like a piece of that pie thing. So we just need to get out, get the numbers up, make sure everyone likes it, make some tweaks, feedback, and that, and then we can start down that road.
Cool. Yeah, no, sounds good. Is there any other stuff you want to talk about V3 coming up?
Yeah, I think with V3, well, we finally got, light and dark modes, which people are very excited about. I don't know if anyone's seen my tweets about dark mode, but I was just like, fine, I'll go do it then, because I was quite happy with the light mode, but people were getting on at me for it, so I got it done. And just did Algify last night. So we've got Algify governance. We're gonna get that in. I was supposed to be dev complete, not doing anything else, but we're putting the Algify governance bank stuff because I think that's quite important. And then on the NFT side, we really wanted, I'm a big NFT guy more than DeFi, to be honest. So we really wanted to make the gallery really nice. So we've got, I mean, at the top level, you have NFT collections. So I said we've got, 600 collections, all linked up with their Twitter feeds and their creators' NFTs and stuff like that. So you go to, it loads up in about 3 seconds, and you can, it's got a client-side search. So you can just type in the name and it's like instant that you can find it and go to it. So we thought that was really, really nice to try and get, make that user experience better of, looking through collections and what you want to find. And then you can see all the data. You can see highlights from the collection. You can see your holdings, your feeds, the full collection with everything. So then that loads, we got that loading nice and fast as well. And then sales data, which is something I'm seeing in the database at the minute. So you'll see sales data for a collection forever, for the whole time. So you can see who bought what, when, and where. And one thing, there was the whole ongoing royalties debate around NFTs. So one of the things we decided to do was to show the splits. So when you look at our sales data, little widgets, I suppose you could call them. So it's got the NFT of whoever bought it or their address if they don't have an NFT, when it was bought, the amount it was bought for, and then you see the percentage and algo split for platform and for royalty. So you can see that, and then for the main sales data pages, we have that kind of accumulated. So you can see how much money did the creator actually get, how much did the platforms get, and how much royalties did they get over time. Just to make that a bit more transparent, because I'm very much about, pay your artists. Otherwise, there's no art, that kind of thing. And then, we do show your listings and your offers and stuff. So we're hooked up with Rand and AXN's APIs, so we can see who, where you're listed and where your offers come in from that. In the end, I very much want to make an open marketplace for people to have, their own shop. So your profile is your shop, and you can list, and you can, people can go to your profile and make offers to you. So you don't have to list on any platform. There'll be very low platform fees. And you can set whatever royalties you want and stuff like that. So it's completely up to you. That's not coming yet. That's a next year thing. But we're, that's one thing I'm very excited about. I think we've got, there's a lot of features to talk about. But yeah, but on the 8th, everyone can try them out.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I think one integration that you mentioned was the NFT domain integration, which I think all platforms are sort of now using it. Like NFTs are kind of almost like unifying different applications. Like everyone's using it, and then when there's an application which isn't using it, everyone's like, integration when? And I think it's just like a nice way to like identify people, right? You see, Kieran.algo, you're like, oh, okay, cool, Kieran just bought my NFT or whatever. It adds a bit more of like a personal touch rather than just, a bunch of random letters.
I think the nice thing is that we do offer, you can search with an address, or you can search with an NFT, or you can just connect your wallet through, MyAlgo, Pera, Exodus or any Wallet Connect. And even if you do it that way, we will still find your NFT, and then we'll show that through the platform. And just do that for everyone because it kind of unifies things. You want to see your NFT on the other pages. And we have put in like a basic kind of, it's not that basic, I was working on it quite a lot. See all your NFTs that
Okay.
you own. And then you can go into them, see the big image, see all your metadata that you've set. And we could do it like they have a really good API. Because Patrick's got a massive brain. So they've got a really good API. So we could, if we wanted to, we could implement all the stuff you can do on NF domains, like their site, like, updating your metadata, changing your avatar, all that. We could do that. But I don't know if I want
Yeah, fair
to.
enough, fair enough.
And I think one thing I might do is just have like a little option for any NFT you've got to just, set as NFT avatar, as like a which I think would be a nice little quality of life thing. Not in yet, but it's on my list of
Things to
possible things that we might do. Yeah.
Cool. Now I want to take a step back from the platform, and so the platform isn't a platform which actually executes its own transactions. You're sort of any integrations that are coming in version three, they redirect you to the DeFi platform to execute the transactions. So for me, it kind of raises the question, like, why Algorand? Because what you're building, you could have built on any chain, because it's mostly just pulling data off the blockchain. So what kind of drove you to pick Algorand?
I think it was, there wasn't a conscious decision between the team to pick Algorand. There wasn't a, we want to make this project, let's pick a blockchain. It was more, we were all in the Algorand
Okay,
because we
fine.
like the
At the time,
tech and we like the NFTs, we like all the stuff about it. And then when we got together, it was like, well, we're going to build it for this. So it was just, there wasn't a specific, should we build it on Polkadot or should we build it on this? I mean, there was a small point that says there's nothing on Algorand that has this right now. When we started building it last year, because if you look at bigger sites like Solana and all that kind of stuff, like bigger blockchains like Solana, Cardano, and not Cardano, and Ethereum, they've already got this kind of stuff. And it's like, well, how can we make an impact? So Algorand was the obvious choice for us because we're already there. We already really like it. We think it's the best tech. So let's build here.
Cool. So it was more of
And
a
I might say recently, I had a look at doing light integration with VeChain or Cardano because there's been some cross-chain kind of chats with NFTs and stuff. So I wanted to, can we show your VeChain NFTs if you give us your address? Oh man, they're weird blockchains. Like, I was just looking for like the API point because if you look at Algo Node's API Explorer, you can just see right, address. All address details, including all your assets. They don't have that. And
Oh,
I don't know where
wow.
they live. I don't know. It's, I was very confused and I put that idea to bed for now. We are going to be doing our own API to access our data and also hook up with subquery and do like deep blockchain queries. So we're not an indexer, but we're going to take advantage of one. So we might look at it at that point, but as a cursory glance, I've got too many things in my head right now. I don't need to learn about how another blockchain is structured.
So, so you guys aren't running any of your own nodes at the moment, are you?
No, not any actual really or index nodes. No.
Fine. Okay, cool. Is that a plan for the future?
Do you know what? It's on a thing that we say maybe if we need it, but I think there's people out there like the folks at Algonode, and they're building Allo, which is coming soon, and these guys know more about it than we do. That's what they do. So I'd rather let someone that knows exactly what they're doing do it rather than me trying to half-ass it just for the fact that we can say, hey, we've got our own node. But I don't think there's much use. Our time would be better spent.
No, that makes sense. Because I've been having a lot of conversations with different people about, running your own nodes. Should it be incentivized? And one thing that pops up a lot is a lot of projects which are running their own transactions, so that looking at mostly DeFi platforms. They should, and NFT marketplaces, they're the ones who are probably running their own nodes because they have, a lot of interest to do so. Rather than using some of, the service providers which are out there, it makes sense for them to run their own nodes because it means that, they get direct access to the blockchain without having to rely on, some other platforms being available or paying for it. It's almost easier to set up your own node if you know what you're doing and basically use that instead. Yeah, no, so that was just something I was quite interested in. We've been going for a little bit. I wanted to ask you, so you said you worked in like games development or like gaming early on in your career. This is, I guess, for my own personal interest, like what made you leave or what was it about it that didn't work for you?
Oh man. So I worked in the games industry in between 2012 and 2015. So we did mobile games based in Dundee. I worked at a couple of different companies that did that. It was, I mean, everything that people say about the games industry and working in it is true. The hours are crap. There is crunch, and the pay's not great. So yeah, I just needed a change. One of the main drivers for me was I wanted to leave Dundee. I wanted to go back to Glasgow, where I'm from, because I moved there for the work. Didn't necessarily like the work that much. Didn't really like living there, so wanted to come home. So getting out of the games industry for me was kind of, there's not as much in Glasgow, or at least there wasn't at the time. And also I wanted to get paid more, frankly. You come out of uni, you do 4 years at uni, you get a good grade. I got 2-1. I had already done an internship, two internships, one between second and third, and one during my honours year, during 4th year. So I was working at the place that I ended up working. And in 3 years of working there, I got a £1,000 pay rise in 3 years. And I was like, I'm not up for this. This is rubbish. So that was why this had to get out.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, 'cause for me, growing up, I played a lot of video games, I still do, and same, with friends, and one idea was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool to work in like games and like make games and stuff? And then, but it's one of those things that the more you hear about, the industry, the more it kind of puts you off it. And what you said is something which is probably quite common in the games industry and probably still is, which doesn't necessarily make it an attractive place for, for me personally to be like, hey, I want to work there. If, I have to deal with crunch and, working conditions which are probably quite difficult to deal with. And if the pay is not great, it doesn't really make it worth it.
No, I mean, because that's the thing. If the pay, like my last job, my current job, I started this new job, and then just now, in December, my previous job, I worked like 60-hour weeks. It was intense, but I got, paid all right for it. And I had, some sway, and I could do what I wanted. But in the games industry, I would say if anyone wants to get in games, do it yourself. Go independent. Don't become a developer at a games company, because you don't really get the freedom that you think you're gonna get. Yeah, you can write a for loop or a for each loop, and you can be like, oh man, look at the creativity I've got. But it's not really there. But if you do it independently, like the independent game scene is very much similar to like the NFT scene. It's all small companies, small like single developers doing things, trying to do stuff different, hustling basically. And that's a lot of fun. So I did the game, I did game jams and stuff like that, and that was always really, really good, and made you that kind of kept you in it. You go, oh, this is good, I do like this. And then you go back to work and you're building like a menu for 4 weeks. It's keep getting rejected because it's not got enough acceleration on the scroll, and you're like, I don't care. I do not care. Neither does anyone else.
No, because one of my friends, he's building his own game on the side, and that's something where he can work on it consistently over time, and the progress is slow, but he can do exactly what he wants because he's quite a like creative guy. He wants a lot of control over what he's creating. So I think This is definitely really good. And what you said about the indie game scene is something I didn't realize until like a month or two ago. So there's a gaming convention called EGX, which was in London a month or two ago. And I went down there and I was surprised at the amount of indie games there are. There are a lot of indie games, and some of the indie games were literally it was a PC with the game and a piece of paper with the name handwritten on it, and that was it, right? But then you had some indie games which had like a proper booth, they had proper artwork. And the indie game scene is sort of like a scale, right? You have teams that have built something really cool, and also not all of the games are cool, but they're very different styles, right? Some of them have made shooters, some of them have made like simulator games, some of them have made like puzzle games, and puzzle games which actually make you think, and are quite in depth. So seeing that sort of made me appreciate indie games a lot more, because before that I was always like, yeah, I don't think the indie game scene is that big. But then you realize that a lot of the games you play, or games that get really big now, are more indie games rather than AAA, Activision, EA, whoever else.
But I mean, like you say, it is a scale, because there's like the single creators or the small teams that do it in their spare time, who aren't getting paid for it, who are hoping that people like it and they buy it and then they can start their career. And then you've got the other ones that are indie games because they're not, owned by a publisher, so they are indie, but they have, like, as we would have in our space, VC backing. They've got backing, they've got money, they pay salaries. They're actual companies, they're just not beholden to a publisher. So there's definitely a scale, and you can see that a lot. But I would always see people just do it yourself. Because it's the nice thing about Algolgator, we're not funded. We have no funding. We've had a few grants from some very nice people over the Swamp Team. From the Frog launch, they gave us 1,000 algo, and Headline gave us 500.
Nice.
That's it. That's as much funding as we've had. But it's nice not to be beholden to anyone. So, like, I was choosing the release date for this, and I was like, I could do it in 2 weeks. That would be all right. That would be quite good. Your 1st of November. I was like, give myself an extra week. No one's telling me I have to. Which is nice. We can go at our own pace, because that's why we took the decision to go back and just rebuild the whole thing. Because it is a weird decision, to say you have a working platform that people use, and are you going to rip it apart and completely rebuild the whole thing? Yes, that's what we're going to do, because we can. Because we think it'll be better in the long term, and we weren't getting paid before. We're not getting paid now, so we didn't lose anything. So we think it's going to be much better for the future.
No, definitely. I think in terms of questions, we'll probably call it there. For people who are looking to find out more about you guys and the project, where can they find you?
Best thing is on most of our news goes out on Twitter. So if you go at Team Algolgator, on Twitter, you can follow us. Please do. We'll be bringing out some new stuff in the run up to the V3 launch, some videos and things like that, and hopefully, this and some other interviews we've done. We do have a Discord as well, which you can access if you go on the actual app and go algolgator.finance. You can see links to Discord, links to our Medium, to our shop. We do merch. Usually, I would be wearing an Algolgator shirt at the moment, but because I was rushing about this morning, I haven't actually got it. But we do merch, so you can join the team. I'm just trying to think if there's anywhere else. No, that is it. Twitter is the place where we announce everything. We do it at the same time as Discord, so either one.
Perfect. Yeah, so I'll include all those details below the video or the podcast, wherever you're listening to. So yeah, no, make sure to check out Algolgator. They're building, pretty cool stuff, and it seems from the sound of it that V3 is gonna be bigger and better, and it seems that you guys are just gonna keep improving massively. So I'm super excited to see where you guys take this. So yeah, thank you for joining me. It's been I've had a great time.
Same. Yeah, it's been great. Thanks for having me
Thank
on.
you.